We turn this evening to the Gospel of John in chapter 10 and verse 14. John 10 and verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. We continue this evening in our short series on the statements of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he describes something of his character in the I am statements of our Lord. And we've come to the statement this evening, I am the good shepherd. This is a subject I looked at about 2.5 years ago. And we return again to this text this evening as it fits in with our series. And the message focuses upon the wonderful attributes and the actions of Jesus Christ as the Good Shepherd, the one that guides, the one that cares, the one that saves. Now, the word good, we start off with the word good here. I am the Good Shepherd. And the word good here in the original, it means that Jesus Christ is intrinsically good. He's not just acting good and saying good things and thinking good things perfectly. But as God is love, so God is good. It's part of his being. It's who God is. And Christ, the Son of God, not only does good, he is good. Every action of the Lord Jesus Christ emanates from his heart, from his being. It's who he is. In the Sunday school this afternoon, Brother Steve was speaking about obedience from the heart or obedience outwardly, whether it comes, is a particularly outward obedience, or whether it's something that comes, emanates from the heart. And when we look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's all pointing to the perfection of his being. He not only does good, he is good. And as the Son of God, Christ the Good Shepherd has an eternal care, an eternal goodness to those who trust and follow him, described here as the sheep. And this is a very important question for us this evening. We're in a very volatile time as a nation. We're living in an increasingly hostile time towards Christianity. I read in the Evangelical Times this evening, this afternoon, how the government are making another attempt through Ofsted to control the Sunday schools and have some type of legal control over them. And we're entering into this increasingly hostile environment as we serve the Lord. We live in a materialistic society, a selfish society. This might sound negative, but it's a very important issue and a very important question for us. Who is our leader? Who is the one who is guiding us? And here we have the Lord Jesus Christ as the Good Shepherd. And in the final analysis of our situation in life, there's only one person that can fulfill that deep inner need in your life. You see, Almighty God can use loneliness, emptiness, fear, failures, even tragedy, even discouragements, to lead us to the Good Shepherd. Because we do so need a person who really does understand you and know you, and that will teach and guide and show the way. And there is nothing more important to you this evening than to be able to look up to a person assuredly, with confidence, with a sense of peace. Someone that does really understand you. Someone you can look up to assuredly. In a world of corruption and false promises, there is really only one person that really counts for sinners, and that is Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. And the first point Jesus Christ makes in his presentation to us of himself as the Good Shepherd is to warn us. And he sets out the picture of a sheepfold enclosure. And this sheepfold enclosure only has one proper entry. There is only one door. Just as in the ark in Noah's day, there was just one door. And Noah and his family had to enter into that door. And the Lord shut the door and shut them in and secured them. So it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is saying there is only one door. However, he warns us that false shepherds get in by other means, and their objective is to destroy as thieves and robbers, Jesus tells us. And perhaps he may be referring at that time to false priests and the false prophets, and they were climbing up some other way. And these false teachers, they have no real care for the sheep. In fact, Jesus says, when danger comes, they run away because they're only really interested in being hired for money. They're only interested in what they can get out of it, not what they can give into it. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. This then is the setting of Christ's presentation. A good shepherd or a false shepherd? A good shepherd or a false prophet? So this is the warning. And their teaching is summed up by the Lord that these false prophets, false preachers, are climbing up some other way. And the outcome is deceit and destruction and despair. A true shepherd, as a pastor, will always seek to magnify Christ in your mind and lead you to Christ. False shepherds encourage a false way of entry, and that can exclude Christ. It's a Christless gospel. Well, in the picture, Christ the Good Shepherd shows that he enters the right way. We can have absolute confidence in him. The picture is given of the shepherd arriving to collect his sheep from the night porter. The night porter has been there looking after the sheep over the night, and the shepherd arrives early in the morning to take the sheep out to pasture. And immediately he arrives, he's recognized. The sheep recognize his voice, and the good shepherd leads the sheep. He does not drive the sheep. He goes before the sheep. This is a very interesting picture here. In verse 4 it says, or we can read from verse 3, to him the doorkeeper opens. See, he knows this shepherd. And the sheep hear his voice. They hear him coming. And as he comes, he starts calling them. And there's an immediate reaction of the sheep. And he calls his own sheep. His very own sheep, by name. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Do you not know that Jesus has a name for you? A special name? A personal name? And he leads them out. He leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him. Why do they follow this man? Because they know his voice. That's the issue. They trust his word, his way. They know by experience that this shepherd cares for them. He goes before them. He's protecting them. He's seeking their well-being. And he has a voice of authority. And in that voice of authority, they discern compassion and understanding and wisdom and truth and meaning and sincerity and goodness. And in salvation, they hear the words of Jesus. This is now referring to the sheep as people, as sinners saved by grace, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. And they hear the voice of the shepherd through his word. And there's no other voice like the voice of the Lord Jesus. It speaks right to the heart. And they don't want to know any other voice than the voice of the good shepherd. Only he will do. The sheep will not follow a stranger. They will flee from him because they do not know his voice. His voice has no authority. But God gives his sheep, his followers, a spiritual instinct. Something is not ringing true. They're uneasy. There's an unease in the flock. And there's a picture here of a large fold. And it holds a great number of sheep in security for the night, having various owners. But when the good shepherd arrives and calls his sheep, only his sheep respond to his voice. So it is if you are a seeker this evening after Christ, dear friend. In the end, there is only one voice that you will heed. And that is the voice of the good shepherd. There's only one voice which will resonate, which really meets your inner need, which really helps you. And here is a test of a real seeker. If you are willing this evening to rest on something or settle for anything less than Jesus, you will be disappointed. But if you are a seeker and you're coming this evening and you're saying in your heart, it's Jesus only for me, only Jesus will do, there is none other name given under heaven whereby I can be saved. Jesus is the good shepherd. And this is the test. If you or I have really had the Spirit of God working in me or in you, this is the test. Only Christ will do. Only Christ will do. The hymn writer said, O Christ, in thee my soul has found, and found in thee alone, the peace, the joy I sought so long, the bliss till now unknown. Now none but Christ can satisfy, none other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. And this is where Jesus brings us this evening, in his presentation of himself as the good shepherd. Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. By this he means, now as he moves on in his illustrations, he's saying to us that I am the way of access. Meaning here, I am the one way of salvation whereby we can be saved. Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And we'll go in and out and find pasture. If we are coming this evening to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're looking to him and trusting in him to be rescued from Satan and from an eternity in hell, and we've received this warning, and we want to flee from other false shepherds, and we want to come to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you will come by this door, this one door, I am the door. Another I am the door. If anyone enters by me, Jesus said, he will be saved. He will be saved. But saved from what? People say, I'm saved, that's wonderful. But do we know what we've been saved from? As we're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, we've been saved from an eternal punishment, from the wrath of God, from the condemnation of the law, from the slavery of Satan. And how can this be? Because Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. This is how it is possible that this wonderful good shepherd has given his life for the sheep, not for himself, but for the sheep. That is the only reason the Lord Jesus came to this earth as the Savior, to save sinners, to save those ordained unto eternal life, to give his life for the sheep. The ultimate sacrifice of love and care, voluntary laying down his life for the sheep. Jesus said in verse 15, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay it down willingly. I lay it down with love. I lay it down sacrificially. Such is my love for the sheep, is that I'm willing to go to the very utmost for them. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He is the door then. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He will be saved. This means to be delivered safe and sound in the original here. It means that you'll be ultimately taken to heaven. You will never be lost. So the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, he saves and he secures. And we could ask ourselves the question this evening, how secure do we feel? And we have every reason to feel insecure without Christ in our life. You see, sheep without a shepherd are the most vulnerable of animals. The other day we was out in the country and driving, and there was a sheep way from its field, way from its the other sheep, the other part of the flock. It was just running along the road. It had got lost. And it was tremendously vulnerable to being hit by a lorry or a car. It was weak. It had no sense of direction. And a sheep is the most vulnerable of animals without the right care. So it is with an unbeliever. There really is little resistance to sin, no spiritual direction, living in their own truth, without a shepherd to guide them, only governed by worldly values and motives which are changing. All those of us who are older in years, we've seen the values of the world change immensely in 60 years. Tremendous change. So we're vulnerable by nature to the enemy of souls who uses evil to destroy. This is what Jesus said. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. But well, security is only known as we enter into God's kingdom by repentance and faith in Christ Jesus, the Good Shepherd. But then the Good Shepherd is known for his secure care. The Good Shepherd ensures the pasture for his sheep. He leads the sheep into the pasture land I will go in, and find pasture. And here it is speaking symbolically of being spiritually sustained through a Christ-centered word of God. And the Good Shepherd then goes on to say, if you are feeding in this pasture, if this is the field that you are feeding in, the field of God's word, it will do something most blessed for your soul. It will affect your whole being, including your soul. Because you'll be living life with an eternal perspective, and it will be a life of spiritual growth, of preparation for glory, of serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I have come that they may have life, spiritual life, that they may have it more abundantly, more abundantly. The Good Shepherd gives us another important reason why we need to trust him and follow him this evening. His way of reading our verse, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep and am known by my own. Now, it was said this afternoon, I've never heard this before, but evidently one illustration a minister uses is, well, how would we feel if so up on the screen there, every one of our thoughts was scrolled up, what we're thinking now, what you are thinking. If suddenly it all came up on the screen, exactly what you are thinking in your mind now, well, we would be very perhaps embarrassed, perhaps ashamed. Well, I don't know what you're thinking, but Jesus does. He knows exactly what you're thinking. He knows his sheep. And if you are one of his, he knows what you're thinking. I know my sheep. But in a positive way, that's an awesome way to think. But we can think that and know that and actually find that even if the Lord Jesus, and he does know everything about us and all that we're thinking this evening, we can come to him as the good shepherd because he cares for us. He knows how to handle us. He knows how to help us. He knows how to protect us. And he knows all about our condition. He knows all about our life. He understands our condition. He understands our need, absolutely. And you know, when the Lord Jesus died upon the cross, when he laid down his life for the sheep, it was not like a numbered transaction. He actually had his sheep on his heart. He knew exactly for whom he died. He knew exactly everyone for whom he suffered as the Son of God. He actually knew that by nature we were enemies of him, that we would be born and shapen in iniquity, and we would spend some of our life, perhaps some of you, a lot of your life, as enemies of God. Before you came to the Lord Jesus. But he still went to Calvary. And even knowing that as a believer, we will sometimes backslide and we will let him down and we will wander from the right field of his word, he still laid down his life for us, even knowing us. And I find this amazing. It's very moving, is it not? That the Lord Jesus set his face steadfastly to go to Jerusalem, knowing each one of his sheep, knowing that before their conversion, they will be rebels and they will want have nothing to do with him at all. We will not have this man to reign over us. But knowing and loving them and caring for them as sinners to be saved by his grace, he suffered and he died. He willingly laid down his life as the perfect sacrifice to redeem us. And so when we repent of our sin, we trust him absolutely, knowing he must have our best interests at view. He already knows about our pathway. He already knows about your past. He knows about the present. He knows about the future. And he still says, come. He knows what is required of you along the pilgrim way to grow spiritually. If Jesus Christ has come from heaven, a place of perfect glory and happiness at the Father's right hand, and gone to Calvary at such a cost, surely we can be sure this evening that every one of his sheep is special to him. You may not feel special about yourself this evening, but you're special to him because you're redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And you've been redeemed as you trust in the Lord Jesus at great cost. And every single sheep that trusts in him is of eternal value to him. And every one of his sheep is equally precious to him. He says, and I'm known by my own. Here we are assured of a blessed partnership. Not only about Christ knowing us, but about us knowing him. It's looking to him as our Lord that I might know him. This is the objective of a converted Christian, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, to know him, the one who is infinite in wisdom and power, full of grace and truth. Well, as we come to conclusion this evening, there's another thing I would like to bring before you, another thought of the Good Shepherd. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. And this is a very important truth for us, because it speaks to us of a pure love. It speaks to us of an eternal love. And it speaks to us of a committed love from the Good Shepherd. He said, I must bring, they will hear my voice. There will be one flock, there will be one shepherd. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. He said, I must bring, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock, and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me. Why does the Father love the Lord Jesus Christ? What is one of the reasons? Because I lay down my life that I might be alive again. You see, when the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized, God the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. When the Lord Jesus Christ was transfigured upon the mountaintop, God the Father said, this is my beloved Son, hear him. And on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah were in a discussion with Jesus. They were in conversation. And we read they were speaking about his sufferings to come, the Calvary. Baptism speaks about death and the resurrection. It's a symbol of his death and his resurrection. On the Mount of Transfiguration, they were speaking about Calvary. And on both those occasions, when death and resurrection and Calvary is the heart of the situation, heart of the event, God the Father calls from heaven, "This is my beloved Son." And God the Father loves his Son because he laid down his life for the sheep. And we know that as God, there's an eternal love between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, an inseparable, perfect, holy love. But specifically here, as Jesus Christ, the man, the perfect man, God the Father looks down from heaven, and as he looks at his only beloved Son with a human nature, as a perfect man, laying down his life for the sheep, we are told that the Father loves him for this. And if God the Father loves his Son for laying down his life for the sheep, surely we should love him and follow him and serve him, because he is the Good Shepherd.